Be with our preacher, Lord. Give him the strength. As I know he's ailing right now, Lord, I pray that you would put your hand upon him and give him the strength to bring forth the word of God, that it may reach down upon, Lord, our hearts and bring forth seed and fruit to righteousness. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would prepare us as a people to receive from you what you have from us through the lips of your servant. And so we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. If I could maybe get the fans on a little bit. Anybody comfortable this morning? Raise your hand. Anybody too hot? Anybody too cold? Okay, we're just going to have the fans on just a little bit here. And if it's too cold, if I see too many of you ladies or men, you know, shivering, they're just going to turn on lightly a little bit. I'm sweating this morning, but that's not uncommon, number one, for me. And number two, it might be because I'm not on top side, if you will. But I'm going to just talk to you this morning on the place of prayer. On the place of prayer. I'm going to try to move along a little bit, but so just bear with me this morning. I want to try to help you. We will turn to some other references here this morning as time allows, but the place of prayer. Dr. John R. Rice, only heard him preach once in my life as far as before he went to heaven, but he was a man of prayer. I have several of his books, and a lot of his books were zoomed right in on how to pray and being a prayer warrior and things like that. But he made this statement one time that most problems that Christians face are prayer problems. Most problems, if not all, problems that Christians face are prayer problems. In other words, our problems often come as a result of a lack of prayer. You know, Christian, you know what? We have an obligation to pray. Okay? You know, you prayed, you asked Jesus to come to your heart, he saved you. And you know, let me just stop and say this. You know, God wants to hear from you. You know, he wants to hear all about what's going on. Yes, and so many people, they use this kind of as a cop-out. Say, well, God understands. I mean, God understands everything that's going on in my life. Yes, he does. But you know, he desires you to sit down and just talk to him about your problems. And by the way, you know, there's no other God like him. We understand that. And he will hear what you have to say. You know, he will hear you. And let me ask you a question. When trials come, when problems arise, when decisions need to be made, where do you run to? Who do you run to? Do you acknowledge God? Do you go ahead and go to prayer about your problems or about that trial or about maybe that heartache and so forth? You know, we have time for so many other things in our life, but sometimes we have a tendency to not pray. Sometimes we kind of, our prayer life is nil at best, if you will. You know, is it any wonder why we lack power? Okay, we often wonder, why is it that I don't have that spring in myself, that lack of, why is it that we have that lack of power, if you will, that the Holy Spirit has for us? And it's simply because perhaps our prayer life is nil at best. You know, we find so many other things in the world that replace our prayer life. We need to be very, very careful about that. So anyways, I want to talk to you on the subject of the place of prayer. I'm not talking about that specific spot. If you were to follow me, I have several different spots, some right on this property. It's not just an office, but some right on this property and several different spots that I like to go to and pray. Take my Bible, I'll take a little notebook with me, and I'll just take a little while, and I'll just go ahead and meditate on the Word of God, and I'll go ahead and just talk to the Lord. And let me just stop and say this. You know, you might be a new Christian, and you say, well, I don't know how to pray. You know, all you have to do, prayer is just simply talking to God. That's it. You know what? So many people, you know, and I'm for people praying eloquently and so forth, but I know there's a lot of new Christians that they, you know, they may not be very eloquent. I had a new Christian ask me, well, I want to pray. I want to have that time of prayer, but I don't know how to say it. I said, all you have to do is just simply go ahead and talk to God. You know, God is not up there with a report card looking down and just grading your prayer life. He's not doing that. He's not how you pray as far as your eloquence. He's not grading that. All he really wants to do is he just wants to hear you talk to him. He wants to spend time with you. So I'm the place of prayer. I'm not necessarily talking about that spot. Spend a little time in my spot up in the back 40 of my dad's place. You know, he's got a lot of land up there, and you go right up there. And nowadays, I don't have to walk to it. I can just get on his little ATV, four-wheel drive, all-terrain vehicle, and I just go out there, and I'll hit some of them spots, make myself a little trail, and just I got a spot there. You know, just took time and prayed. You know, just took time and spent some time with the Lord. You know, but I'm not talking about that specific spot. I'm not talking about enter into thy closet, as the Bible says in Matthew. I'm not talking about that. But I'm asking you the question, what place does prayer have in your life? What place does it have? The Bible says in verse number 1 of Luke 18, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. You know, from the beginning of time, men have prayed. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. In all types of places, men have prayed. In all types of situations, men have prayed. In many different times, men have prayed. In every conceivable situation, men have prayed. Hey, you remember how America all of a sudden got religious when 9/11 happened? You know what? Men went ahead and prayed. Even the both Christian and heathen alike, they found a way to get a hold of God, if you will. God bless America. Remember the courthouse steps, or the steps there in Washington, D.C., all the congressmen. God bless America, land that I love. You know what? They were getting a hold of God. But both Christian and heathen alike have spent some time in the pursuit of prayer. However, very few have made prayer their main priority. Those who have made prayer a priority stand out as a bright light in a dark world. You can tell someone who's been with God. You can tell someone who has that, and by the way, they don't have to flaunt it. It's just that there's a gleam about them, there's a spring about them, there's an excitement about them. Why? Because they've been with God. I know people who've gone through some of the darkest valleys, and when they were going through the darkest valleys, listen, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it. You know what? Because they know how to get a hold of God, and God is their strength, and God's grace is sufficient for them in their time of need. And those who have made prayer a priority, I'm talking about a place of prayer, not necessarily that spot, but a place of prayer in their life, you know, they make it a priority. They stand out as a bright light in a dark world. They have a tendency to stand strong in the midst of adversity. You know what? They may be knocked down, but they're not knocked out. You know, they know that a just man falls 7 times, riseth up again. And you know what? That just man is one that gets a hold of God. They know that you're not going to stay knocked down. You know, you might have adversity, you might have trials, but because your prayer is your priority, because you're tapped into the Holy Spirit of God, because you're tapped into God, He gives you that strength, that grace, that strength that you need through the adversity. And you know, that kind of Christian encourages me. That kind of Christian that has that spring in their step. I remember a preacher years ago, well, he was going through so many heartaches and illnesses in his own life and so forth. And I went to preach for him a couple different times and so forth during his illness. And the truth of the matter is, this man, you know what, by all medical terms, he was done. I mean, he was never going to step behind a pulpit again and so forth. And I remember going to him, my wife and I was invited up, and our family went up and we preached for him on Sunday. He was at home, but he couldn't get around very well. How about a preacher? This was he was not a young man by any means, but he was a strong, healthy man. I mean, this guy was a woodsman up in the northern part of Maine and so forth. And this guy was a woodsman. He was healthy all his life, but boy, all of a sudden, you know what? His health took a turn, and it just did not look good for him. And I remember, you know, in the darkest period of his life, I would go ahead and I'd go, hey, brother, how you doing? His name was Brother Isaiah Hill. Hey, brother, how are you doing? And he says, I'm just rejoicing in the Lord with a smile on his face. You know, I remember when he was in the hospital, even prior to that, I went into Bangor Medical Center there, and I went into the hospital, and our church, all of our kids in our school and our youth group and everything made these cards for him. And my preacher asked me to go up and see Brother Hill and so forth and take these cards into him. And at that time, the reports were not looking very good, but I gave him a whole, I mean, we had a whole big box full of cards and so forth to go ahead and give him. I went in and asked him, Brother Hill, this is prior to me preaching to him a few weeks before I went up there to preach for him. I said, how you doing? Smile on his face, always with the same words, rejoicing in the Lord. You know what? He was a man of prayer. You know, he knew how to get a hold of God. He wasn't going to let the circumstances of his life go ahead and keep him down. You know, he got down. He was down as low as he could physically. You know what? Today, he's preaching. Right now, he's preaching in his pulpit. I mean, that's exciting to me. But you know what? But that kind of prayer life encourages me. Being around them kind of people, that you see the light, you see the joy, you see the excitement that they have, even through the darkest hours, you know what? They just keep on going. These are the kind of people that are problem solvers. You know, they're not problem makers, but they are problem solvers. In the darkest of times, when tough times come, when big decisions come, they know how to solve the problem. These are not high maintenance Christians. You know what? And as a pastor, I deal with all kinds of different Christians and so forth. But these are not high maintenance Christians. These aren't the ones that are always so needy. Yes, you know, call the preacher, I'll help. Call the deacon, call somebody else for a prayer and so forth. But you know what? These are the kind of people that they understand that, hey, I need to get a hold of God. You know, prayer is a priority in their life. You know, when every need comes, it's so easy. I preached about this a few weeks ago about David learning to lean, how God had set up all these support systems, wonderful support systems. And then God slow but sure took them away one by one. You know why? Because David was bypassing everybody else, and here's God. Here's God. What about me? David, you know, you're in the darkest hour of your life, and you run into everybody else. What about me? You know, the truth of the matter is you need to run to God. Get a hold of God and grab a hold of him. He'll give you the strength that you need. Don't be the kind of prayer, if you will, that prays when it is convenient. People seem to acknowledge God when they're undergoing the stress and heartache. You know what? When we are at wit's end, that's when we kind of have a tendency to say, God, I need you. You know, the truth of the matter is you needed God before wit's end came. You needed God when you were on the mountaintop. You needed God when the bills are paid. You needed God when the car was running great. You needed God when your health was strong and so forth. That's when you needed God. But it's so amazing. We use him as just a person of convenience in our life, that when the trials come, all of a sudden, God, I need you. Boy, our prayer life ought not be that way. That's not a prayer. That's not praying as a priority, if you will. Then, you know, and then when we finally get through our problems, let me ask you a question. When you get through, and God gives you the grace to get you through the valley, let me ask you a question. What do you do after that? Think about it now. Do you go back to the same old before the problem came? Or do you go ahead and latch a hold of God and say, you know what, God, you got me through this problem. I'm never letting go. What do you do? Our text, the scripture that we read, the verse number 1 of Luke chapter 18, makes it clear that Jesus' prayer or praying ought to hold preeminent place in your life. You know what? The Bible says that Jesus says men ought always to pray and not faint. See, oftentimes our prayer life, when God doesn't answer on our time, you know what? That's when we faint. So I don't think God's hearing me. I don't think God understands. I think I just need to go try the avenue of the world or try this or whatever the case may be. And God, the Lord Jesus, says here, men ought always to pray and not faint. Now, before I get into this place of prayer, which is my title, I want to go ahead and just talk to you real quick. What is prayer? What is prayer? Number one, prayer is an invitation to God. Okay, I'm going to get to the nitty-gritty here in just a moment. Let me quickly get through this. Prayer is an invitation to God. Prayer is not coercing, nor is it coaxing God. It is simply you and me inviting God, come on in, take over. He ought to have preeminent place in your life, Christian. But, you know, prayer is simply, you know, yes, talking to him, but also inviting him and saying, okay, God, you're not coercing, not coaxing, not God, please, you know, that is you just humbly and willingly opening your heart, saying, okay, God, you take over my life. You know, it would be good if you would just go ahead and do that. You'd be amazed how many blessings you will receive if you just let God have control of this race that you run and allow him to give you the strength that you need. Prayer is me admitting my weakness and recognizing his power. Yeah, I understand. I am weak. My flesh, I feel very weak this morning. I'm very weary this morning. I understand that. But you know what? Prayer is understanding my weakness, admitting, hey, I am weak, but recognizing and tapping in to God's power. You know, the Bible says, and turn to Mark real quick, if you will. Just going to go ahead and turn to a couple illustrations here real quick. Mark chapter 5, verse number 22. The Bible says this. Mark chapter 5, just back a book there, Mark chapter 5, verse number 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. You know, Jairus, you know, he fell at the feet of Jesus. He realized he couldn't do anything in his power. You know, he has this little daughter. I know I'd be concerned. My little daughter lies sick and perhaps going to die and so forth. I'd be very, very concerned and so forth. And there was Jairus. You know what? He went to Jesus, and he immediately, the Bible says, he fell on his feet, and he realized that he couldn't do anything in his power to go ahead and save his little girl's life. So he recognized his weakness, and he tapped into the power, if you will, of the Lord Jesus, and who went ahead and healed him, Jesus Christ. Jesus went ahead and healed her. You know, prayer, what is prayer? Prayer is work. You know, a true prayer is not a lazy person. I mean, I'm talking about one that prays, if you will. A true praying is not for the lazy. A true prayer warrior is not one who's going to just lie around and be lazy. A true prayer warrior may require one to get up early and maybe stay up late and get a hold of God for some answers. A true prayer warrior requires one to remove themselves from the elements of the world. I'm talking about the technology, talking about people, just for a season. A true prayer warrior finds himself a place to pray. As I mentioned before, I have a few places that I go ahead and pray. But a true prayer warrior finds himself a place to pray. And I ask you a question. Are you a true prayer warrior? Are you willing to go ahead and maybe get up that extra hour in the morning and pray? Are you willing to go ahead and maybe stay up that extra hour? I'm talking about shutting everything down and shutting everything out, if you will, so to speak, just for a little time, and it's just you and God. You know what? Them are precious moments. I mean, you know, I don't know about you, but in a way, I'm a loner, and I have no problem with that. I mean, I have my fellowship and so forth, but you know what? I really do like it when I'm alone with God. You know, it's a very special time, and it's just opening my heart, just talking to the Lord, you know what, and just laying things out, if you will. Prayer is a battle. You know, Satan will bitterly oppose those who pray. You know, and I'm not talking about that kind of prayer, now you lay me down to sleep. I'm not talking about sitting around the table and praying for your food, though I think you ought to pray before you go to bed. I think you ought to go ahead and pray and bless, thank God for your food and so forth. He's not going to so much oppose that, but you know what? Those who fervently fall on the face of God or to God has for just a season and just not a minute, you can guarantee some opposition from the devil. He doesn't like that. I'm talking about those who know how to get a hold of God. I'm talking about those who's not just a minute. Their prayer life is not just a little ditty of a day or whatever. It's a part of their day. Might be just a little season of that day, whatever the case may be. But they know how to get a hold of God. And they know how to go ahead and grab a hold of him. And God does some real things in their life and so forth. And you know what? And that's the kind of person that the devil opposes. That's the kind of person that you're going to face a little bit of opposition because he doesn't want good things to happen into your life. He would much rather have you be that minute prayer guy. I'm talking about that one that just prays that now, Lord, bless this food, give me a good day, amen, and move on with life. He'd much rather have that kind of prayer than one that just takes time out of their day and gets on their face and say, oh God, help me. Oh God, give me strength. And you've got a prayer list there in front of you, and I advise everybody to have a prayer list and different things and so forth. Prayer is a battle. It can be a battle. The old devil will go ahead and try to oppose you from prayer. Prayer is power. Many illustrations in the Bible of men who have prayed. You know, I think of Paul, and I think of Moses, and Daniel in the lion's den, and the three Hebrew boys, and Elijah. You know, prayer is the greatest power that we have upon this earth. Well, you know, you can get a hold of God and he'll not stop his ears on you. It says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee. Show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You show me a Christian who has a consistent prayer life. I'll show you one who will make it through when the devil attacks. You show me that one that, boy, you know what, without fail, you'll find them in their prayer time. You have, prayer is it has a place in their life. Not just that spot, that's great if you have that spot, but it has a place in their life. And you show me that one that is consistent in their prayer life. You know what, they're going to go ahead and be able to stand strong when the devil attacks them. But you show me the Christian who doesn't have that consistent prayer life. You know what, they're the ones that just kind of stay down. They're the ones that always stays discouraged. They're the ones that's not really moving on for God and so forth, simply because they're not tapped into the power source, which is the Holy Spirit of God, which is God. Prayer is tapping into God's power and into his strength. Prayer is a fragrance. I got this week. Prayer is a fragrance of Christian activity. You know, true prayer envelopes all that we do in the breath of heaven. You know, you want God's blessing in all you do? Pray. Pray. You want blessing in your marriage? Pray. Boy, you know what? Let me just say this, sir. Boy, the greatest thing you can do is you pray for for your family. And mama as well. But you know what, dad is the head of that home. Father is the head of that home. Sir is the head of that home. Boy, you know what? You need to learn to get a hold of God. You need to make God foremost of your marriage. You know what? You want God's blessings in your marriage. You know, pray. I'm talking about really pray. You know, get on your knees and ask God to bless it. You know what? You want God's blessings at work? Pray. You know, maybe a lot of stuff. You know, I don't know about at work. Sometimes you get to deal with a lot of political stuff, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. A lot of stuff. You know what? Often, and we'll go ahead, and if we're not careful, we'll let that rub us the wrong way. We'll go ahead and get critical. We'll get mean and so forth. And the truth of the matter is, you know what? God has the power to go ahead and settle stuff at work. He does. But the truth of the matter is, in our own mind, we automatically put up that resist mode and say, no, 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 you know, and we get critical and so forth. But we fail to go ahead and ask God to pray for blessings at the workplace. Pray for your boss. Amen. Come on. You know, just pray for him. You know, pray for your boss. And by the way, your boss ought to know that you're a Christian. He ought to know. And I'm not necessarily saying by everything that you say and you sitting down witnessing it, if you have a chance to do that, you ought to do that. I'm talking about just the way that you conduct yourself. Show up on time. You know, be in your place. You know what? Do the work that you're supposed to do anyways. God wants to bless you at work. God wants to bless you at school. You know, God's blessings at school. How are you going to have it? Pray. God wants to bless your relationships. Hey, pray for your relationships. God wants to bless in every area of your life. Allow prayer to be the center activity in your life, and that is you allowing or inviting God to have control over all that you do, and you will have the sweet breath of heaven upon everything that you do. Boy, allow him to do that. Prayer is simply communication with heaven. You know, there's no broken line between earth and the Father. Say it again. There's no broken line between earth and the Father. There's no broken line between God and his children. Amen and amen. I thank God that God's not taking a day off today. You know what? He has time to hear me. And if he has time to hear me, guess what? He has time to hear you as well. You know what? You just need to talk to him. You need to understand that the very God that spoke this world into existence, you know what? He cares so very much about you and maybe your little world. All you need to do is talk about it. Hey, you know what? There's no broken line. There's no broken communication between you and God. You know, all you need to do is go ahead in prayer. It's simply communication with God in heaven. So let's look at a couple things here quickly about this place of prayer. Number one, prayer must be priority. Prayer must be priority. You know, the theme is repeated all through the Bible, but again, in Luke chapter 18, 1, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse number 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant, or that means diligent in prayer. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Bible says to pray without ceasing. That means to shoulder the phone with God. I've used this illustration before, but, you know, in our big farmhouse kitchen that we had up in Maine and so forth growing up, we had this big old kitchen. And we had this big old, you remember the old rotary phone and so forth. And my mom was able to go ahead and do two or three different things while she was talking on that phone. You know, she could go ahead and cook. She'd be washing the dishes. She'd be doing, because that cord was long enough to go ahead and reach every corner of that particular kitchen. You know, that's why I call praying without ceasing, shouldering the phone with God. You can go ahead and continue to be active and doing at work and so forth, and you can go ahead and pray. You can be driving to work. Don't bow, don't close your eyes, but you can drive yourself to work, and you can go ahead and pray. You can go ahead and whatever the case may be, out mowing the lawn. Again, don't close your eyes, but you can go ahead and pray. You know, that means prayer. Pray without ceasing. Prayer ought to be a priority to you. We ought to remain constant in the spirit of prayer and not giving up. We're to give up. We give up if God doesn't answer on our timetable. Prayer ought to be priority. But the reason why it's removed from our priority list is God doesn't seem to be answering. He doesn't seem to be hearing. And so we give up. You know, let me just stop and say this. God's time is always best. Always best. You know, I wish, you know, when several years ago when my wife went through breast cancer and so forth, I wish I could have gone ahead and sat my fingers. Everything would be all right. But you know what? We had to go through the valleys. We had to go through all kinds of different things. Let me tell you something. You know, she's 6 years cancer-free this week. Amen and amen. But you know what? Listen to me. But God's time was best. You know, you just need to go ahead and trust him. Prayer must be priority. It ought not be replaced with anything. It ought not be said, I will pray later. You know what? Later never comes. Well, I'll go ahead and read my Bible. I'll go ahead and pray later. No, later never comes. Well, many times the Bible has placed a high priority in prayer. Hey, let me just turn back to Job real quick. I'm going to look at a couple illustrations here real quick, if you will. In Job, I love Job. Boy, the book of Job is something, boy, every Christian ought to read and so forth. It'll teach you a whole lot. But let me just read Job chapter 1, verse number 5. Boy, I love hearing the rustling of pages, amen. Job chapter 1, verse 5, amen. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. You know what Job was doing? He was praying for his family and his sons and his children. He was praying. You know what? He made it first thing in the morning. He made it a priority to pray. Let me just say this. You know what? God will do a whole lot in your family if you pray for your family. Let me ask you a question, parents. Do you pray for your children? Do you pray for your kids? Do you pray that God will go ahead and protect them and guide them, give them strength? You know, and boy, when they're precious little babies, you know, I remember all four of our children, every single one that I held the very first time, I had a little prayer. I said, Lord, I just want this girl, this boy to go ahead and do whatever it is you want them to do. I prayed as they were in my little arms, in my arms and so forth, the little baby in my arms there. I said, Lord, I pray that this child would go ahead and come to know you at an early age. You know what? Every parent's goal for their children is to ought to teach them about salvation, teach them how to be saved. You know, every parent's goal ought to be, you know, we're to teach and raise them up in the admonition of the Lord and so forth. And every parent ought to have a goal of just teaching their children the ways of the Lord. You know, you see Job here, you know, he prayed for his family. Abraham, let me turn back to Genesis chapter 12 real quick here. I won't be able to hit all of these examples because I'm going to finish this message this morning. But just real quick, turn back into your Bible there, Genesis chapter 12, the importance of prayer and worship, if you will, in the life of Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 7, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and high on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Hey, prayer was important to Abraham. Hey, listen, Genesis chapter 13, as well as about Abraham here. Unto the place of the altar. Verse number 4, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 9, I'm just turning. You can jot these down, and if you want to turn to it, you may go ahead and do so. Genesis chapter 22, verse 9, and they came to the place where God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound his son, Isaac his son, and laid him upon an altar of wood. You see him, he built an altar. You see that he called upon the name of the Lord. In the Psalms, you'll find many, many references in the Psalms talking about David's prayer life. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, I won't turn to it for the sake of time, verse 22 and 23, you see David there. He'd already committed his sinful act with Bathsheba, and he prayed for his illegitimate child who was sick and eventually died. Prayer, I think of Elijah in 1 Kings. Turn to First Kings real quick. Elijah, I love this particular passage here in 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. I'll get to it here. 1 Kings chapter 18. The Bible says in verse number 36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering and the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord, you see a prayer here, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God, art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. You know, you see him praying. You can even hear his sense of urgency. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. That the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and lift up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. You know what? He prayed down fire from heaven. You see the battle there between the Lord versus Baal. You know, and God and Elijah wanted God to be real in the children of Israel's lives and so forth. You know, you need to go ahead and pray. Daniel, boy, you know, in Daniel chapter 6, when the king made a law that he could not go ahead and pray to God Almighty, what did Daniel go ahead and do? He went ahead and he went to the window. Three times he prayed. You see his steadfastness in prayer. You know, Daniel was not moved when it came to praying to God Almighty. Boy, you find many illustrations of the Bible in the New Testament about Jesus. Jesus, in Matthew 14, verse number 23, he went up to the mountain apart to pray. In Matthew 26, verse 36 through 39, you know, you see him praying in the Garden of Gethsemane just before he's taken away. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35b, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12b, he went into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Hey, let me ask you a question. Your needs being met, is God in heaven so important that you pray all night for him, with him? Would you take it all night? And let me tell you something. I hear of men in churches. I'm talking about churches. I know of churches today who have all night prayer meetings. You know, is God that important? Are you willing to go ahead and sacrifice maybe a little bit of sleep time to go ahead and spend time with God? Luke chapter 9, verse 18, and it came to pass as he was alone praying. Boy, you can see so many examples of Christ praying. Listen, Christ is our example, and we should follow suit. My friend, I asked you this morning, church member, Christian, how's your prayer life? Is it priority in your life? You know, it was obvious Jesus relied upon prayer. You know, if Jesus, God's Son, had to pray, I'm talking about the sinless Son of God, how much more we as sinful human beings need to pray? Well, it's important that we pray. Do you understand all these people that I read about? I'm talking about Abraham, talk about Job, talk about, of course, Jesus, Daniel in the lion's den, the three Hebrew boys who prayed, so forth. Do you know what? They were ordinary people just like you and I. They were able to do extraordinary things. Do you know why? They knew how to get a hold of God. They prayed. Prayer was priority. Christian, well, you know what? God saved you. You know what? You know for sure you're on your way to heaven, but you know what? He wants a relationship with you, and I ask you a question. How is your prayer life? Is it priority in your life? Do you pray? Do you make it a priority? Then prayer must not just be priority, but it must be prerequisite. In other words, before all decisions. You know, we should do nothing in any area of our life without taking the matter to God. Well, let me tell you something. When I bought my first car, you know, I got some advice and counsel, but you know, I wanted to make sure the Lord was in it. I talked to the Lord about it. You say, God doesn't care. Yes, he does. He cares about you buying your first car or any major decision. You know, when I got married, you know, I talked to the Lord. I mean, I got advice and I got marital counseling, different things like that. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to do right in my marriage and have a good, happy marriage. And obviously, I wanted to go to people who knew how to have a good, happy marriage, like my preacher and so forth. But you know what? I also talked to God. You know, I asked the Lord's will for who my mate would be when I was just a teenager. I was taught to do that. You know, listen, God knows what's going on in your future. He knows your tomorrow. Well, you young people, you ought to go ahead right now. You ought to ask God for the will of God as far as your future mate. You know what? He knows who he or she is. You know what? Pray. Boy, you know what? Before you make big decisions, you ought to go ahead and pray. You know, before feeding the 5,000, John chapter 16, 11, you know what? You find them giving thanks. Prayer. Jesus always preceded his activities with prayer. Before raising Lazarus from the dead in John chapter 11, 41, you see him praying. You'll see him praying before his trial and crucifixion in Luke chapter 22. You see him praying before before becoming sin for us on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Boy, especially in the realm of spiritual activity, prayer is important. As a pastor, I need to pray. And you know, if your preacher needs to pray, how important are those who sit in the pew need to pray as well? Boy, every single decision that you make, you ought to go ahead and pray. I was talking to a young man this week. Well, he's a young married man, got some wonderful children, just a wonderful family. And he was just getting a little bit of advice from me. He knows me very well, and I administered to him and his family through the years. Not, they don't live down here, but you know, he just getting a little bit of advice about moving on to a different job. And I told him, I said, boy, you need to go ahead and just balance out everything. Make sure, first of all, it's the will of God, and make sure it's not going to affect your family time and your church time and all this other stuff and so forth. But you know, he said, Pastor Weeks, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead. And he told me what he was going to do as far as making a matter of prayer. He told me how long he was going to pray. He says, every single day until I get an answer, I'm going to pray a half an hour for this job. He's been with this one particular company. Very good living that he makes at this company. He's been there a long time. But he was thinking, if I get a little bit closer to home and different things like that. And he made it a matter of prayer. He says, I don't want to go ahead and blow it, if you will. And he said, every single day, from the very day that he got a little bit of advice and different things, he said, I went ahead and I took a half an hour and I prayed about that. He took his lunch hour and he prayed. You know, make long story short, the door closed. He stays where he's at. But he says, man, I thank God that I prayed. You know, I thank God that he didn't get so itching, because it sounded like he could have gotten this other job. And some people would say, well, you know what, I'll take a couple weeks off before I move into that job, without even really knowing, you know, God revealed to him that, you know, the door closed. You know what, pray before you make major decisions. Well, you know, pray before, you know, I pray before every service. I pray before every message. I pray before every activity. I pray before my preparation. Sunday school teacher, boy, you ought to pray before you go to your class. You ought to be prayed up even hours before you walk into that classroom. Boy, bus worker, pray for them kids. Bus captain, youth worker, deacons, on and on. Prayer must be priority. I know I talked to you this morning about prayer, but I ask you, how's your prayer life? Is it priority? Or do other things kind of find its way to slip in and take that time? Steal that time, really. Is it a prerequisite? In other words, do you pray before you make big decisions in your life? I'm talking about major decisions. And then prayer must be practiced. I'm not talking about having a written out prayer and, you know, all that and have it memorized. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just making a habit in everyday life. A place, a time. I'm talking about having a place of prayer. You know, it's not enough to know prayer formulas or rules or promises. You know, to make prayer truly effective, we must practice prayer. Get busy in the business of prayer. You know, the Bible says, you know, so often, pray, you know, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, pray without ceasing. You know, we have that, believe it or not, all of us have time to pray. Every single one of us, we have time to pray. But have you made it a priority, Christian? And listen to me, that lack of prayer, listen to me, it could be why you're always discouraged. It could be why, you know, things, you know, you take two steps forward, boy, you're back all the time, and you're down in the dumps. It could be simply because of the lack of prayer. The place of prayer. I'm not talking about that spot. I'm not talking about the woods and different places that I have and maybe you have, and it's good to have a place where you go where it's everything shut down and it's just you and God. But what place in your life does prayer have? I mean, we make it a place in our life to go out on a date with our wife. That's good. We make it a place in our life to do this. We make it a place in our life to do that. And that's all fine. How about prayer? Is there a place? How about there a time when you have your Bible? You have maybe a notebook. Maybe you have I use a dictionary a lot. I like to have a dictionary some with me to help me with some words and so forth. And then my prayer list. Let me ask you a question. Do you have that place? Is there a place in your life that you have a prayer time? Let me tell you something, the most sweetest, I'm telling you, it's a sweet time. I mean, you want to have, listen, if you develop that prayer life, if you want to have a sweet time, well, you know what, you make it an everyday habit of having that window where you pray. You know, and again, I said it earlier, so many people, they get a little bit confused about praying. I don't know how, I'm just not that eloquent. God doesn't care about that. He's not grading you by your eloquence. He just wants you to go ahead and make that time where it's just you and him. Listen, he ought to have preeminence in your life. And is he preeminent in your life enough to go ahead and make sure that you have a scheduled time? It's just you and him. I have to go ahead and leave when I pray, especially in specific times that I have in my schedule, I have to leave the cell phone aside. I have to, oftentimes, I got to get right out of, you know, a lot of my prayer time is not in this building, to be honest with you. I'll pray in this building. But a lot of it's not in the, you know, I have to go ahead and really remove myself from all the elements so that I can have that special, sweet time for prayer. What place does prayer have in your life? On a scale of 1 to 10, how's your prayer life? How's your prayer life? It's not a school. You don't have to raise your question. Well, I think it's a 2. No, I don't want to know. This is between you and God. If you can come to an altar and say, God, you know, I know my prayer life is, and it's 1. 1 being bad, 10 being good. My prayer life is 7, whatever. But if you graded it yourself and you were honest, how would you be able to grade it? Sometimes we get so busy. We get so busy that we push the very important things of our life, like prayer and meditating upon the Word of God and reading the Word of God, we just push it aside. And you know, so many problems in our life could literally be diminished if we go ahead and take time to pray. Take time. I mean, just, you know, and if you're a new Christian, let me just say that if you're a new Christian, I understand that you may not have an hour. You know, I understand that. But you know what? I tell new Christians, boy, you know what? You got to take 15 minutes a day. Get your Bible. And get yourself a sheet of paper. Take the first couple minutes. Just write down many things that you're thankful for. Then write down some prayer needs. I mean, and time it, 2 or 3 minutes. And then take 2 or 3 minutes to go ahead and pray. Then you're about 6 minutes or so, 6 or 7 minutes in, or so into this. And then go ahead and have a Bible reading schedule or whatever, or go to the Psalms and just start reading several Psalms. You know what? 15 minutes, you can have a pretty good walk with God, especially if you just open your heart to it. And you know what? The more that you make that a habit in your life, it won't be long before half an hour, 45 minutes. You know, it won't be long. And it won't be long before you start adjusting your schedule where, you know what, I can adjust my schedule a little bit more or in a different time frame where I can spend a little bit more time because you've created a habit, if you will. I don't know if that's the term I wanted, but you created that habit. I'm just going to use it for the lack of terms, if you will, but you created that habit that you walk with God. You know, the happiest teenagers I know are those that I know have a prayer life. The happiest families I know are those that I know that have a prayer life and they walk with God. The happiest young person or single person I know are those that they know how to get a hold of God. They make sure that God is a priority. Prayer is a priority. Before you make any decisions, do you acknowledge God? I'm talking about the big, huge, major decisions in your life. Do you acknowledge God? And just and practice it. Make sure there's a time and a place. I'm not saying memorize these prayers. I'm not saying that. But make sure that there's a time and a place. Make sure that you're in the business of prayer, just getting involved in a walk with God in a prayer life. Make it happen. My Heavenly Father, God, we love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for the good attention this morning, Father. And Lord, I just, the very best I could, with your help, just wanted to just talk to my people about the place of prayer. God, I know very much of how beneficial the prayer life is to me and to Christians. I love it when I hear a Christian come up and say, "Preacher, I've been praying for whatever situation or a health issue, and God went ahead and healed me," or whatever the case may be. I love hearing the answers to prayer. But God, we'll never have the answers to prayer if we don't pray. And I pray, dear God, that we would, as a church, be praying for one another. I pray that as a church family, we would be finding that place, not necessarily the spot, but a place in our schedule where we pray. Men ought always to pray. Not sometimes, not just when we feel like it, ought always to pray and not faint. Maybe there's some faint-hearted Christians under the sound of my voice. Maybe they've had that strong walk and that prayer walk and that time of Bible reading, Lord, but you know, maybe they fainted along the way. Maybe they just, you know, got too busy or whatever. And I pray, God, that if that's the case, it would rein in their schedule and put you priority. I pray, God, you'd bless people with every heart here today. Maybe there's one in the sound of my voice that doesn't know Jesus as Savior. Boy, this would be a great, great time to come to know him as personal Savior. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Say, "Preacher, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. You know my prayer life, and I'm not going to call you by name. I won't point you out, but I want the opportunity to pray for you." Say, "Preacher, you know, in this area of prayer, or maybe there's another area that God spoke to your heart. Say, "Preacher, would you please pray with me? I'm going to raise my hand. Just pray with me about some matters in my life. Here's my hand." Anybody else? Anybody else? Right all over the room. Maybe put your hands down. Maybe here today you say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. The truth of the matter is, if I die today, I do not know 100% sure I'd go to heaven. And I want someone to show me. I'm concerned about that. I want someone to show me from God's word. It's not a religion. It's not a pastor's way or a denomination's way to heaven, but it's a Jesus way, how you can know 100% sure without a doubt that you have a home in heaven." If you're here today, you say, "Preacher, I don't know Jesus as Savior. Would you please pray with me about this matter?" Again, I'm not going to point you out or embarrass you in any way, shape, or form. Only you know what's going on in your heart right now between you and the Holy Spirit. But you say, "Preacher, I'm concerned about this area of salvation. I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Would you please pray with me about this matter?" And I will. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray with you about that matter. Anybody at all? Our Heavenly Father, God, you saw the hands this morning. You know the hearts. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would have your will and way in this invitation. I pray, Father, that you would go ahead and bless, Father. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would move accordingly in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If God spoke to your heart, let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. If God spoke to you, maybe you raised your hand. Maybe you didn't raise your hand. Maybe here today you don't know Jesus as Savior and you were a little bit fearful to raise your hand, but you want to come forward and shake my hand and say, "Preacher, would you please pray with me about my salvation?" We'll have someone show you from the Word of God how to be saved. If God spoke to your heart in any way, won't you come forward as the music plays?